stand for the pledge?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, I'd like to thank everybody for coming tonight. We have a busy agenda. So, do you want a motion to approve the minutes?
I'll move it.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carry. Okay, so we'll get right to business. So that's for December 12th, 2016, and we have February 6th, 2017.
Which one did you do last time? I wasn't at the last one, so.
So you can't move it because you wasn't.
Yeah, I had to move the first one.
But the first one, okay.
Which one did I move?
Moved January.
Okay,
so February 6th?
Okay. Move it.
Yeah. Okay, great. Thank you. Okay, so we have Dr. Roberts, the president of Ulster.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. A couple things with FTE. One thing is something we always talk about. For the fall semester, we ended about 15 FTE above our
numbers.
For the winter term, we were actually flat, and it was actually even. For the spring semester, we came in about 40 FTE above our budget.
That's real nice.
That means we pay the bills, and we're happy, so we're excited.
Yeah.
So projecting into the summer, last summer we had it was a record-breaking summer, and we are at the last summer right now. So the summer's really looking good.
What do you think is causing that?
Me.
Oh, wow. very nice.
Well, you know, we really took a hard look at the way we schedule and the way that we budget and the way we project, and I think that really helped out. And I really think really have to give credit to the recruiters, you know, our marketing folks, the fact that we're open 5 days instead of four in the summertime, so it adds an additional layer of support for students. They're willing to stay later and come in earlier, and we took the online system, which was surprising, but we never really could register online. They'd have to go and sit down with a faculty member, fill out the paperwork, and then have it done manually. We automated that system so you can actually just, a student, as long as they know what the program is, they can enroll and pay right online without not having to come into campus. So that was a huge improvement. And for the summer, there used to be, when you register for the summer classes, you used to have prerequisites that you had to meet from other institutions. And most of our summer enrollment comes from universities. So we eliminated the prerequisite, and it just took off. It just went through the things, yeah. So we're really good about that. We're happy about that. Fund balance is very solid, about $850,000, which we're really happy about that. We have a new first-time... It will be a community college in New York State that will offer a four-year program. We're going to be offering a four-year Bachelor's of Science in Nursing will be offering here. So we're working in conjunction with Empire State, where they do an online program, but we're going to do cohorts, and we're going to be bringing them right here on campus. So we'll have a four-year nursing program. And our Assemblyman Cahill had asked a year ago to do this, and because we were able to do it, he's stepping up and he's putting a line item to help support that program, too. So that's
very good.
That's great news. We're starting budgeting for next year. And what we're going to be doing this, we're going to budget flat because my phone is ringing in my pocket. We're going to budget flat. And all the data that we've had indicates that the high school enrollment is going to be going down 8-9%. And that's going to happen over the next few years. But with the new program we're offering, we're not really going to take a cut. We're going to be able to say we're going to offset that decline with the new market. We're going to go after adult markets with the BSN program and our prison program. We think we'll offset it, so we're going to go into a flat budget. So we're feeling pretty good.
Now, how is the prison program working?
much to our surprise, it really exploded. It came to the point that our first walking in, we didn't know how many would be college ready, because that's always the challenge. We had just about 80 students that were ready to go in college level program.
Now, who is paying for that?
There is it's called Hudson Link, and they're out of the city, and there is a private donor who's paying all the tuition for all the inmates.
Great.
And actually, Sean Pica is the director for that program, and he had been an inmate, and he had been through the program, and he got his degree, and he came out, and he started this Hudson Link to help support the prison population. He's done a superb job. They're doing a movie on him. He's going to be our guest speaker at graduation this year. So we're excited about that.
Very good. Yeah, that's fine. I know they used to, in other words, the state used to offer, college program in all the prisons.
Used to be supported by Cal and by tuition.
Yeah, but then it got cut. Because some people were taking the stand that, well, geez, I send my kid to college and I'm paying this amount and you can go to jail and get it for nothing. Of course, that's kind of very short-sighted, because if you look at the recidivism rate, it goes from about 78, I think it's something like 78% recidivism rate. If someone gets a college degree, it drops down to about 10 or 12.
Exactly.
So it's really a very conservative approach, but it doesn't sound that way.
Yeah. You're exactly right. You have it. Exactly right. That's what happened.
So I'm glad that we're doing something of that nature. That's great. All right, thanks, Al.
Yep.
Thank you. Okay, and that's it for the college?
That's it?
Yes, great. Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, Lee Reedy couldn't be here tonight, but she has representatives for Cornell Cooperative Extension.
Hi, we're standing in for Lee Reedy, and took the opportunity also to introduce Christian Albeski, who is our agriculture issue leader. We can certainly send him to tell him if there's any concerns about that. So we're here, just basically I'm going to introduce Christian, just kind of a reminder of some of the great work we do that really is made possible for the county allocation and the county funding that you guys provide. So maybe I'll just briefly chat about 4-H and then go over to you?
Sure.
Okay, perfect. We didn't rehearse this very well or anything, so bear with us. One of the great things we do is actually a public speaking program where we train kids to do well at public speaking and be able to present information. So we're going to be doing that program here on March 18th. We usually have about 75 people or so participate. They receive feedback. Mary might even be one of our evaluators, I'm hoping, maybe.
Remind
me. But we end up, if you're invited to that, to me it's a gift. You get to hear these, like, adorable kids do 5 to 10 minute presentations on everything under the sun, something that they care about. So the county allocations help support that program. They help support agricultural literacy. We pass around some flyers about some of the things that 4-H does. This is Representative Gibson, U.S. Congressman Gibson, last year did ag literacy with reading to kids about apples. This year we're hoping to have Representative Gasso reading Kingston Schools on Friday of Agricultural Literacy Week, and it's about grapes, which I say many people like in all different forms, right? So with the kids, we're probably going to focus on the grape juice more than the wine, but agricultural literacy is kind of a really important thing we do in our region. If Jim is maybe going to read for us if we can find the right scheduling, so we're very appreciative of that. So I'm going to leave this with you. I tell you a little bit about what our county allocation is, what we do with that money, and what our top 5 programs are. We do some amazing work with agriculture and animals, and I feel like that's what most people associate us with, but I actually have our top 5 projects here, which are our community service and civic engagement, food science, STEM. We do a great program where we help kids who are underrepresented in tech fields to go on and get interested in tech, focusing on girls and youth of color, and they do things like build drones, all kinds of cool stuff, and they have a mentor that works with them pretty closely. So I'm going to leave these with you guys, just pass some of these around as well as my card if you have any questions about 4-H or questions that I can get along about Cornell Cooperative, and then just giving Christian a moment to introduce himself as our new agricultural issue leader.
Good evening, everybody. As Melanie said, I'm Christian Malvasi. You do not have to worry about my last name. Christian is always just fine with me. I actually came up here from Houston, Texas. It was big and hot, if you were wondering. But I'm from Pennsylvania, so this is not a big change for me here. Houston was actually the larger change. I have a background in urban agriculture and community-focused agriculture, along with a broader spectrum of things that I've done or various spots around the country. And I hope to build on that here in Ulster County for Cornell. Currently, our agriculture program serves it's just under 500 farms, and these are 2012 numbers. The agricultural census is held every 5 years, so there's actually one due this year by the USDA. But Cornell here at Ulster serves just under 500 farms who produce about $55 million worth of goods that are sold, and that equates out or equals out to the average of about $127,000 per farm, but that's going to be give or take based on the size and what they're producing. County allocations here help our educators build programming and make resources that can reach these farmers, whether they're new beginning farmers and the programs we pull for them, or people that have been practicing forever, and we can help them with the newest research. And that's primarily what we do. We have the research where we trend new things that can help both the established and the new farmers, and then we also turn that research into programming that can really help those new farmers or people looking to try something new in their business. Also, the very public face of the agricultural department, something that maybe a lot of you are familiar with, is the master gardeners. They help the residential, and they go from a small vegetable garden to lawn ornamental. And that is an organization comprised primarily of volunteers. And I know that last year they had just under 100 volunteers that donated close to 3,000 hours, so about $65,000 in volunteer hours is how I think it balanced out to. So we look forward to continuing that, building those programs that can help these new farmers, especially with this surge we're seeing of younger people coming up from the city, as well as people deciding to change their occupation from, I guess, their day-to-day life with what they're doing down in the city to coming up here, whether it's a hobby farm or they just completely change their occupation. But I do look forward to working with many of you and helping out however I can, and building program capacity here at Cornell Office.
Thank you.
I'd like to make a motion to
it's Resolution 72.
Resolution, what is it?
Resolution 72, authorizing the chairman of Ulster County Legislature to execute an agreement with the Cornell Cooperative Extension Association of Ulster County for 2017
appropriation. Let me say that I'm proud to do that. You guys, we basically, you quadruple our donations and getting other donations, but not only that, you are probably the best economic development impact that we have in any of the money that we give out. The number of employees that you employ because of that money. So,
thank you.
From the conservative Dave Donaldson, I will move that.
I'd like to say that.
Okay, and any other discussion? No? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Thank you.
Christian, good night.
Okay, and now Amy Dreyer for CASA.
I'm in flush on the board.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
I'm on the board of CASA, and CASA has volunteers who are appointed by family support to represent children in foster care. And the children that are in most need and in the foster care program are the ones that the judges choose to have CASA be their advocate. There currently we are representing 52 children in Ulster County, and we have ongoing training for volunteers, and the services that we are providing are really to try to have the children reunited with their biological family or to be in a safe home.
Thank you. Dave?
And for others that may not know, all CASA has to do is keep one child out of going into a placement, and that will save the county approximately $120,000 a year. So about $36,000 a year invested is well done.
Okay, do I have a move resolution number 74?
I'm quick.
I'll second.
Any discussion?
Second.
David?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, Linda Morrison Ring from our Smith Hudson.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello, everybody. I came today to thank you for your previous funding and also the funding ahead of time. And I brought a little report card of what we accomplished with the funding that the provincial legislator. So one of the things that's really amazing is to see year after year how these small organizations begin to really grab footholds and grow and prosper. And I think that was the whole intent was the capacity building fund, which I started years ago. So it makes me really proud when I see this. I've seen a lot of these organizations be able to hire new staff, first with a part-time, and then, you know, they grow them. They get more volunteers that way. They actually make more money to help sustain themselves. So this is all very well worth funding. The balance, I gave you a little synopsis. You know, we counted all of the board members, the volunteers, and the people that they served, including paid staff members. So it ends up to be a nice, respectable over $240,000 for the investment that you made. The other part of the money goes to providing parts and hundreds of staff to go out and work with these organizations, of which you can see 916 volunteers. A lot of these organizations are volunteer-led, or they have a very, very small staff. So, again, it's trying to make that investment to help people continue to grow. The other thing that happened last year that we thought was really exciting was because of this extra staff time on the ground in Ulster County, we found a bunch of very willing and able volunteers in Kingston, and we leveraged that into Art Walk Kingston, which it was the first year, but over 70 artists participated, and we captured data that talked about, we had all artists, have people do this survey, give us their zip codes, because people will readily give over their zip codes. So what we found was there was a serious shift, like over 23% of people travel from outside of the area, like we're talking the metro areas or Massachusetts or Connecticut, to come to this. We had rack cards printed that were distributed with the help of Ulster Tourism up and down the throughways, and people must have picked them up, and we did a lot of social media. But what it leveraged into Ulster County was that it brought people from external areas who spent the night and stayed in an Airbnb or a hotel, bought dinner, bought gas, all the things that we want to see happen. And it also engaged the local people who reported back to me that they were really surprised. They didn't know anybody that came to their studio, but there was a lot of people. So that's great. That means that we're getting new people out and engaging. So anyway, I
want to
thank
you.
We appreciate it.
Jennifer?
At the end of the grant cycle, when they complete the football research project, do they report to you anything about their results?
They do report. So these grantees, or these people that got funding, we don't call it grants, will give us a report by August of this year. Mm-hmm. And I will be sure and send that along to you as well.
Okay.
So that has really rich data, like exactly how many people they serve, where they came from. We always ask the question, were you surprised by any of this data? Because they grumble that we're forcing them to collect certain things, but it actually can be really groundbreaking information for that organization. They think they know who's showing up for things, and they might be surprised.
So do you have that from last year, too?
We have it from last year.
I think it would be.
It would be actually 2015. So the 2016 funded people. Okay. Yeah.
The reason I ask is because you remember last year how there was a certain amount of discussion about whether it was worthwhile.
Yeah.
And, you know, this used to be part of the Economic Development Committee because it is just like the Cornell program, you know, part of economic development. So it might be helpful for not only for us to see it, but to remind our colleagues on economic development at the end of the year, or even share your report with both committees to make sure that they're aware of the impact.
We would love to share that because I feel, like I said, you know, we hear narrative stories, but when you actually see the figures and you see what happens out in the community, it's pretty stunning.
Great. Thank you. Any years you have, there's 2016 you said, but not 2015?
So no, so we'll get 2015 reports by August.
Okay.
So we have 2015 now.
Okay.
So what we can do is show a comparison of the growth chart.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Very good. And thank you. You guys do a great job in making sure that this money is given out in a way that makes sense. And, you know, it's the artists that actually sit on the board that are the ones that actually do work to do the awards, and that's what's very important. And I think we established that. When did we establish that? You were put on the committee.
Yeah.
I think I put you on it, but that was when you...
2005 or 6, yep.
So I know that it's been continuing since then. It's actually something that I'm quite proud of. And so is she, obviously. She was on the committee, so... And you guys do a really great job. And if you get a chance, the members of the committee, at least, when they do the awards, you really should go. I mean, it's nice to go to that because these people are ecstatic that they got this funding, you know, $2,500, and they're just ecstatic over it, that they actually got something that gave them a recognition and helped them leverage some other money. So it's, when they do the awards, it's fun to be there. And they actually give you some decent food, too, while you're there.
Yeah, that is the other thing I forgot to mention. Like you said, that money sometimes will leverage double that or triple that because they can go and they can say, look, we got this grant and it's money from the legislator and, you know.
Right, they can leverage money from the state and sometimes, foundations and such. Yeah. So that helps them leverage that money. And I know a number of these things that I've been in, you know, I've attended and I know they're done quite well. The only thing is your Airbnb, we don't get any taxes on that because we're not bright enough to collect it. Unfortunately, we say, oh, no, we can't collect that. We have to ask the state. In reality, every state representative I've talked to said you can collect the money, just do it. But we haven't. Well over a year. So I think we've lost $300,000 since then by the pure stupidity. But that's besides the point. We won't dwell on that.
We'll
I move it.
Resolution 75.
Move it.
Any more discussion?
Second. Yes.
Oh, yes.
Well, I need to recuse myself, but I can certainly attest to the fact that you do great work and that the recipients are excited because my wife just found out she got a little
grant. Oh, nice.
So,
I guess
and I've worked with the organization years ago. You provided funding for photographers to do farm families in Orange County. Yes, that was really wonderful, and got the word out about agriculture. So I wish I could vote on this, but I can't, but you do a great job.
So all in favor?
I'm second, right? Gordon, whoever.
Yeah, good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Let's go. Okay, and now we have Michael Berg, Family Woodstock.
Yes, thank you. I'm aware that you're reviewing the supervised visitation program. And I have to say, it's the only program in families that I could think of that I wish we had less numbers. Because it's very sad that so many families require to see whether the non-custodial parent has enough of a relationship with the child that they have to be supervised. In any case, the program was very actively used We served 77 families. We arranged 438 visits. We held 350 visits. And we reported 147 times to the court. And I think that this is a really important program. You know, and I want to say, because some people might react and say, well, how come so many of the visits didn't happen? There should be a consequence. But I just want to say, at least half the time, it's the custodial parent. Not just the not, if anything, it's more the custodial parent trying to avoid having that contact, trying to avoid the child seeing the other parent. But I think it's really important, and we're very proud of the work that we do.
And I agree with you, it is very important. And I know you guys do a great job, and it is sad. It's a sad situation that we have to do these things, and, but yeah. It's reality. I'll move it.
Okay, second?
I'll second.
Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, motion carried. We should just mention your event, chocolate event.
Oh, yes, it's coming the 19th.
Yeah.
Yes, the Chocolate Lover's Sponge. It's this year it's going to be at the Diamond Mills, and as an extra bonus, we have a little four spice from John Novi.
Very nice.
So it should be a real good event.
What's the date?
The 19th, 2 weeks from yesterday.
Hopefully.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Michael.
What time is that at?
What time?
What time?
Good question. I think it's 1 o'clock. I'll let you know.
Okay.
I have to check.
Is anyone here from Ulster Performing Arts Center?
Yeah.
Okay, hi.
Hi.
What happened?
Sure. Sure.
I was just reminded, and I think you know, but a lot of the cases revolve around substance abuse or domestic violence. Mm-hmm. And so we're often serving both parents in different ways because we're running the shelter and we're running the batteries program. But that makes it even more important that we know how the relationship is with the child.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. So, how are you doing?
I'm Chris Solon, executive director of the Bar Bond. I understood that there were some new committee members and that a little review would be helpful. We took over UPAC in 2006 when it was essentially going to close its doors and merge the corporations in 07. Since that time, we've increased the attendance dramatically from about 10,000 a year to 50,000, including a lot more programming, obviously, and the creation for UPAC of an education program. We put artists in the schools and also bring thousands of kids to the theater every year, most of which we have to underwrite ourselves because the schools are in a tight place. We have most recently put, for the second year, a one-man piece that we developed at the Actors Studio in New York about race in America. The second year has been brought over to Kingston High School and it looks like it will become part of their regular program, which is great. And we're also developing a first of what may be an annual community day in Midtown Kingston with the city of Kingston, collaborating Kingston City High School as well as the Bruder Hub. It's a free event in late April. And we have spent about $3 million on renovations at UPAC since we took over, and we hope to accept a bid by the end of this month for to do another $4 million and be done with it at UPAC, which is mostly the HVAC, which will allow us to be open 3 months more a year. It isn't closed in the summers. And a lot of other things, roofs and a lot of stuff that needs to be done. So
your collaboration with the private sector is
going well? Yes, well, we're close on one of our partners right now.
Yeah. Okay.
Great. Believe me, we'll shot it from the rooftop when it happens. But,
I'm sure you will.
Yeah.
Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Chris.
I'll move it.
Second.
Resolution 77.
All in favor? Motion.
Aye.
Motion carried. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Volusia County Library Association.
Yes, hi. I'm Marjorie Menard. I'm the director of the Kingston Library here representing the Volusia County Library Association. With me is Pam Stocking, the director of the Ellenville Public Library. She and I are from the two halves of the Volusia County Library Association. We're the only county in New York State that is split between two library systems. Most of us, 17 of us, are in the Denison Library System. Four others are in the Ramapo-Casco Library System. But we are a voluntary consortium of the 21 Volusia County Libraries. We come together because we understand that we can work better together. Libraries are the poster children of that kind of collaboration and cooperation, shared resources. And we'd like to thank the Ulster County Legislature for their ongoing support of libraries in Ulster County. And I guess I just wanted to point out what we do with that funding. It has been in many forms over the years. Right now, for the last probably 10 years or so, we have come together, we've taken that money to provide online and digital resources that are available both remotely and in the libraries for residents of Ulster County. And what that does is it provides a uniform set of resources for all people in Ulster County. Of the 21 libraries, we go from Cragsmore, little tiny Cragsmore, to Kingston. And you can imagine that the resources in those libraries, the hours of accessibility and so on, are very different. So we've decided to use the Ulster County legislative funding to sort of level the playing field. So all residents of Ulster County have access to downloadable e-books and audiobooks. They have access to testing and education resources online and job finding resources and language learning resources, most of which you can access from your home with your library card, some of which you do have to come to the library for, but all of which are equally accessible to everyone in Ulster County. So we want to thank you for providing that, and thank you again for this year.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. How often do you reassess I know we have a system in there. They're great.
We're actually, every time they come up for renewal, we're reassessing usage. And in fact, sadly, you'll see IndieFlix is one of the resources that you'll see there, and that's an online database, sort of like Netflix, of independent films and that kind of thing. And it's just not being used. So we've decided that this year, when it comes up for renewal, we will probably not renew it, and we'll reallocate those resources to something.
You had to check on that beforehand, aren't you?
No, it's going away.
Is that because people don't know?
You know, we try. We really do try to get it out there, and we do let people know. But sometimes it's what those resources, what's in there. You know, they go with high hopes and find that maybe it's not quite what they're looking for. You know, we say there's film festival films in there, but they're from 3 years ago, and they want to see last year's Woodstock Film Festival films, and they're just not there. So sometimes we get these resources with high hopes and thinking, you know, this will be it, but sometimes it's not.
Do you coordinate on overdrive with the schools for the books that children are assigned for Battle of Books? And
absolutely. We talk to those schools about the Battle of the Books. Some are reading lists. We get those, and we make sure they're available as possible. And we have really good relationships with our school librarians. Mm-hmm. One of the resources that we do provide with this funding is called Brain Pop, and it's some online different subject areas with animations and lessons that the school librarians, I know the school librarians are using, because it seems like every year I miss the renewal, and within hours, I'm not kidding, within hours I'm getting phone calls from Ramapo County saying, where is it? So it's a resource that we provide through the public libraries that the schools are very much using.
So I was just wondering if there is a resource through the Foundation Center that can help local nonprofits using that resource.
We have the Foundation Center resources at Kingston Library. We decided that it was relatively centrally located, and a lot of the agencies that we serve are in and around Kingston. So we try to make it as accessible there. It's not available remotely, but...
So they can't, for example, take a webinar from... online.
Actually, you can. That kind of resource is available remotely. You can log into the Foundation Center, and they have all kinds of resources.
Because this is one of the most useful things for nonprofits trying to learn how to get grants, is using the Foundation Center online.
And that was one of the first things that we subscribed to, with the thinking that we would use the money given to us by the Ulster County Legislature to sort of ripple out and help as many other agencies as possible. Because I know you can't give us all everything we want, so we try to provide, working with the schools, working with the other nonprofits to use that money effectively.
Tracy has a question.
Go ahead, Tracy.
We do have that number. I don't have it off the top of my head. It's a significant number.
I would expect.
A lot, in any community, most members of that community have a library card, 50%+. And as far as non-residents, most of them are going to be Ulster County residents or second homeowners, that kind of thing.
I was just curious, just thinking about the influx, I was wondering how, because I think it's a great idea of leveling the county's directing ability in terms of utilizing Ulster County's money to be spread in a most democratic way
right.
The county. But I wonder about people who, for whatever reason, maybe physical or other limitations, don't access their libraries, about somehow finding a way to reach out to them about the services that are there to
We try. Ulster County Library Association does engage in various social media efforts. Every individual library has their own newsletters and social media.
Right.
And we do try to get it out that way.
I just wonder, and maybe this is something we can start, and just brainstorming for a moment, if there's a way that we in the legislature could in partner to even put it out on our site and get it out, just another platform.
Including DSS and DSS or Office of the Aging or.
I would love that. Did you know on the books available?
Tracy, would you be the person that I should call them?
I don't know if I'm the appropriate, but I would love to have that conversation and help to facilitate it. I'm a legislator, and I found out about the e-books for the first time when I wasn't a legislator at the library. There's a little card there,
right.
And I read e-books. I don't use my e-books as much, but I was like, wow, this is an amazing service. I'm only trying to start funding.
Mm-hmm.
To be able to reach other people who might not have that face-to-face walking into a library.
And so they can be dangerous. And we have people who come in, they come in with their laptops, they plug in, they use our Wi-Fi, they can access all of this.
And they don't have to have it at their house,
they can come in and download it at the library.
Exactly. And even if people sometimes make a budgetary choice, out in the boonies and they just can't
access.
A book takes a long time to download, and sometimes their level of access just isn't adequate, so they come into their public library, take care of that, and then take it out.
Great.
Just to touch on something that Tracy had said regarding people with various disabilities.
I think ARCAL,
the Resource Center for Accessible Living, would be another good organization to reach out to because they deal specifically with people with disabilities. So whether it's people who are blind or people who have limited mobility, can't turn pages, things like that, would definitely benefit from using audiobooks. I think that they would be a good organization to reach out to. They have a website as well. So
I'm familiar with ARCAL, but frankly, the audiobooks, for whatever reason, it just didn't occur to me to reach out to them and say, hey, we have
these resources that your folks might be able to use.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Sure.
That's great. Great idea.
Thank you.
All righty. I now make a motion to move the resolution 79.
So second.
It's County Library. And I can say again, on my great ground to do that. I was part of the process of changing this.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, Mr. Carey. Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, and right now we have Greg Howard from Community Action.
Good evening. I'm the new Executive Director of Community Action. I've been there about 7 months now. So this whole process is different for me, and thank you for having us. I did do some research as to what was done before, and Ulster County has been very supportive of the HEAP services that we administer along with DSS out of our offices and winding down off of a very busy season for that this year also. And with the monies last year, we were able to do the backpack program and supplement stuff that we gave out to students, about 80 students through our Highland, Ellenville, and Kingston offices, about 10, and 60, where they received backpacks full of personal care products, back-to-school products, and notebooks and pens and glues and all that other stuff, plus supplementing some of the snack program that went out to the different schools. That program right there is about $16,000, so the money offsets some of that, which was nice to have. What the staff have come back and said now is where they're seeing a real big need on the CSBG side with the community service block is people with emergency rental assistance. So they'd like to see that portion of the leftover portion of the grant go to help people that have rental needs, which we work very closely with United Way of Ulster County and some grants that we receive from them as well. And they're very anxious to try to see if they can use that in another capacity to help out, because a lot of the schools now are getting involved in the Healthy Snacks program, and that's replacing some of the stuff that we've been doing from a community action side. Also with the library stuff, I would love to be able to put something like that on, because of the seniors, people with disabilities, to be able to have some type of partnership with that to be able to access that. We might be able to help you with that too. So that would be something good. And I'm spending a lot of my time right now. I spent 15 years with Health Alliance as the Vice President of Human Resources, and now I'm reaching out with the community and trying to build partnerships and alliances and working with People's Place, working with Family Woodstock, working with the food pantries, and as well as our own, and trying to serve Ulster County more than just with what Community Action does. We received a grant from the state of New York to rehab our building. It's almost $500,000. We have yet to release that out into the newspaper. So Lindsley Avenue, which I call the Adams Family House, is going to hopefully turn into a school project. School 4 is going to be preserved for a good another 50 years. So we're just in the final stages with the state to get that process started. It's going to take between 2 and 3 years to do a renovation of that. And things that are missing from that renovation are a lift to get from the first floor to the second and air conditioning. That's the only two things we can't do, but most everything else is going to be handled to make that school, that old building, fresh for Ulster County again into the future, and to be able to hold other things there and be proud to have people come down and be a part of the community.
That's the old number 4 school.
The old number 4 school.
And I think it was built in, 1870?
1868 is my office.
Oh, all right. I was going to say 1870.
We're going to be looking at ways to market that, and I have some staff that still work for me that used to go to school there and have volunteers that used to go to school there. We're trying to make the kids get together and have some type of fundraising with them to preserve their school as they see it, but also opening up the building for all of Ulster County to be proud.
Well, Greg, you brought a nice touch to the organization, and I'm glad to see you there.
I'm glad to be there.
And the idea with, I realize, I know that's one of your major problems is getting money for some people to get that down payment, not the down payment, but that first month's rent, because, you know, people want security. And that's one of the things that are, you know, very difficult for somebody to come up with. And I know, you know, I, for one, send him over to you if somebody calls me and talks to me about that. Now, what is the situation? Are you able to move money into that, or what's your...
Well, because I don't know how it was requested before I got here, there was $2,000 that's meant for the backpack program. And the backpack program is pretty much now all donations.
Right. Well, that was the mindset, because I was the one that pushed that. just so you know that.
So and if they request it, can we move
so it? So I don't think there's any problem whatsoever because it's the money. In other words, that was the mindset was for you to use that because there were certain that it was the backpack program was taking off at that point. And I think it was more of a mindset of saying, okay, here, use this money for that to secure that program can continue for a while. And then now they, it's sustaining itself through donations. So, you know, shifting the money into that other is your call.
Oh, good, because we'd like to
really
be able to supplement it with the United Way side. We don't help a lot of people because it's very expensive in some areas to still afford here. But I'm trying to make ways and find ways to get more money so we can help people, whether it's involved and things like that.
That's a real concern for people, because that's a difference of being homeless and not. Because that little bid gets you into the apartment, and then of course you know you're gonna have to make enough to pay the next month's rent.
Correct.
So it's a gamble. At the same time, so it's really a juggling act to make that effective.
We're working right now with Catholic Charities and the Workforce Justice Bureau to try to go into some of the immigration services, and due to the 190 backlog that they have and what we're facing right now. Community Actions got two trained people at this point to start to learn and move in to help people with immigration needs. And the next new program that we're hoping to roll out by the end of the year is Medicaid medical transportation. We're working with a couple vendors right now that are working throughout New York State to help our people with drug addictions, things like that, get to the appointments and not be second thought in the taxi, but be the first one, and to build relationships with Kelly from the Office of Aging and her volunteers that drive Medicare people. We're also hoping to find volunteer drivers to drive Medicaid people so they can get to their dialysis, get to their rehabilitation appointments, and not miss them, which puts them back even further in their services. So we're anxious about seeing how far that will go. And that'll be a new addition to the Community Action Office.
And I have a question. Your backpack program, is that like to get them started with their school supplies at the beginning of the year?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Because Saugerties is doing the food backpack program.
They're starting to do that,
that they're
now.
Trying, yeah.
So we're trying to say, can we use the money on the other side to help these individuals instead? It's all under Community Action and the Community Service Block Grant. It's the same individuals we're helping with that money, not anything different.
Yeah, that wouldn't, if I remember correctly, because I was the one that pushed that idea, and so therefore it was not a in stone thing.
Good.
It was, in other words, it was a suggestion basically that was made at the committee meeting where we met with the former director for a number of reasons that I don't want to go into here.
Mm-hmm.
For reasons you know. But anyway, that's meant for the organization.
Great, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, move resolution 78.
Second. Any discussion? Nope, all in favor?
Aye.
It wasn't in the packet. It's resolution 79. The last one. They're not in order. I'm going in order of the number
78.
Yes, number 78.
No, it wasn't in the packet. Oh, sorry, it isn't very good.
Okay, thank you. Evelyn Clark is here with for the youth board. We have two resolutions. Would you like to share anything with us?
We have the advisory board report, and we have two people who are being reappointed, Steve Hack and John McCormick. Steve Hack and John are both very active. We have a pretty active board, and they both are anxious to be back on the board. They help out with monitoring the various agencies that we do fund. We go and check listings of the agencies. We have a monitoring form that we provide so that they know how many youth are attending and the atmosphere and if it's a safe environment, if youth are being well attended to. And We're interested in making sure that the programs are providing something positive to youth, not just a place for them to hang after school. John McCormick has been involved with our youth health and youth program. We started that for our runaway and homeless shelters. We do have two in the county, you know, two families, a family house, and also the transitional living or midway program. One's in Kingston, one's in Ellenville. And through the youth helping youth, we get high school students who are in their civic classes to provide a project of collecting items for youth, for other youth who are in need. So we've been successful the last couple of years. We had two young ladies from high school in Saugerties who provided for the shelter, and then last year New Paltz students did it. Then in April, this will be our third volunteer recognition program that we're doing with youth who volunteer at the agencies that we fund. Last year we had about 125 people there that included the adults, their parents, their siblings. It's like an awards program, and they get very excited about that. So we've had it here at the college as the student lounge. County exec would come and say a few words. Last year we had a speaker. From both years we've had a speaker. We had Ashley Knox the first year. And then last year we had a speaker from Dutchess County Community College. And the youth really respond very well to that program. We are hoping to have it again this year at in the student lounge on April 19th. That's new for us. Make sure you guys all get invited.
Great, thank you.
Hopefully you can come because it really is an exciting event.
What time is it usually?
6 to 8. And the county has been providing a bus for the youth to come up from, they were picking them up from the Hodge Center. And so they would be able to come.
Thank you.
Now you have the two resolutions, 115, 116. I'd like to move those two resolutions and thank you, Evelyn, for what you do.
Yeah.
You do a great job, and you both that and the Human Rights Commission.
Both boards are really active. I believe in keeping boards active. And so they do help out a lot. And also I should say Kristen is one of our ex officio members, and she attends every meeting, and both boards are also supporting Kristen and the anti-cyberbullying, and also we had
my brother's on the Human Rights Commission, so.
Yeah. And he's been reappointed, I hope.
Okay, do we have a second?
Yes.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, Mr. Sherry, thank you.
I would post 115 and 116, right?
Do we have anyone here from the Office of Aging? No? Okay, so we're going to move on to Resolution 89, the local law prohibiting cyberbullying.
I'll move it.
Second?
All right, no discussion.
But for discussion,
yes, I want to talk about it.
Did you second?
Considered the idea?
Yes.
We put together a social host off a while ago in reference to drinking your parents allowing that to happen at their house for them being responsible. And I think the way with this law to work, the media was set. Be actually holding parents accountable and creating some type of a responsibility as opposed to maybe a criminal at a 17-year-old.
I think the criminal ask the adult
but it sounds like what you're saying is really liable for action.
Yes. Just like, resolution now about smoking cigarettes and things like that, for kids not being able to buy them, even after 18.
Actually, I have copies of both the statutes you mentioned.
What's that?
I have copies of both of those,
okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't really studied that one, so I don't know as much about it as I need to, But I know as a parent, and as a teacher, that I've seen, kids say, oh, well, I got to call my mother up because I want her to pick me up, a pack of cigarettes. I need a pack of cigarettes. And, the kid's like 15 or 16 years old. I'm like, are you kidding me? But that's the reality. And the parents need, it's like cyberbullying. In some cases, if you're cyberbullying, the kid's cyberbullying somebody, the parent knows about it, they should be held accountable for allowing them to do it.
That would be separate, right?
Question.
I mean, my favorite out of this guy, the cyberbullying law, there's got to be some kind of parental responsibility.
Can you tell us what the name of the law you keep referring to?
It's a social host law that we put together.
Can you tell us what it says about the rental?
It moves into, I know I'm probably very frustrating for you at times, but I'm sorry, but it says, I'm concerned about, criminalizing things.
Well,
a lot of times.
But the social host law is a little bit different but because in a lot of those cases the parents are throwing the party.
Well,
I'm sure they get caught both ways.
They know that the kid's out of the party, they do nothing about it.
The party in a house is hard to conceal. The telephone and what goes on this telephone is much easier to conceal. So if we're putting a burden on a parent, I know that every time there's a new boyfriend with my 14-year-old daughter, everything goes off the rails in my house. And now we had to take the phone away again the other night. And you would think that it was the rack, the Iron Maiden, the screaming and yelling and carrying on. It's insane. And then when you get the phone taken away, you finally get the phone away, you discover that they can go on this other thing that we thought was innocent enough, called a Nook, which you get from Barnes & Noble. You'd like to think that the kid is using it to read on, but then you find out they can get online with the Nook. I agree with you, Dave, that parents shouldn't be turning a blind eye to this, but we also can't set a barrier for that. The point that you made is that parents, if they know about it, should be doing something about it. I agree. I would suspect that 99.9% of parents don't know what this stuff is going on. Now, it doesn't mean they should be turning a blind eye to it, but it's very, very hard to get into your kids' phones and to get into their... They put passcodes on them, and all of these new things delete immediately now. That's the people that invent programs are sinister.
Right.
The naked pictures and stuff, they post it and within 10 seconds it disappears, but it was out there and somebody saw it. And of course they can do that. That's right. So I don't disagree with what you're saying in a conceptual idea, but I don't know that it helps that helps the victim of this type of thing. I know that when we had all spoke back in December, it was right on the heels of when that girl in Texas had shot herself in the head. I just think we're going to see more and more and more of this, and I don't want to turn kids into criminals. You don't want to turn kids into criminals.
I'll go back to my old argument. Making it illegal is not going to change
No.
And, you know, we live in 2016. We live in a different world, a world different than the one you and I grew up in. And we really have to embrace it.
But you know what I'm saying is that it's not going to change that. And what you're going to end up having is it's not going to make, I don't see it making it better.
Well, that's where we differ. that's where we differ, because I think we can undertake efforts to improve it. And I think that, you know, with your help, Mary's help, with this.
Over 21, because that's, I mean, you could go after the other ones, but even with the law that somebody put together with the cigarettes, they didn't criminalize it. What they did was they're making do
community service.
Community service was not being criminalized in any way or form. That's not as effective.
There's a big difference between cigarettes, the victim and yourself. It's a self-inflicted crime. We have a class of victims here.
Right.
I mean, I think they're distinguishable in that regard.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Well, you're correct me if I'm wrong, but you're trying to protect a certain victims that you can't really help at this point.
But the problem is, if you take a look at anybody and you talk to kids 16 to 18 years old and even 21, and they have basically, I think it's something like 50 or 65% have either cyberbullied somebody or were cyberbullied. So the numbers are very high. And so, therefore, my concern again becomes a class thing. Whereas, as long as you are connected, you can probably get away with it. But if you're not, you have more of a problem.
Well, that's where you and I are always going to differ. Because I mean, I'm in those courts. I've spent my 30 years. My career has been in those courts. I disagree with you about that. But let's just say this. When it comes to cyberbullying, what we're dealing with is the Wild Wild West. It really is. It's an area that just hasn't been dealt with. We want to get into it. We want to try to help. And all of you here, the rest of the legislature, have been tremendously helpful. This law has changed so much from the first draft that was in existence. We followed everything that you said. We tried to make it more education-based. We tried to make it less punitive. We thank you for your input, but at some point in time, I do think we need to put a piece of legislation in place to try to educate those individuals who committed those acts and simultaneously protect the people who are the victims of those.
And, you know, I do thank you for what you've done, regardless, even if I don't.
Not my problem.
Because it's a very difficult thing to do. So, and I know, your mind is in the right place. I mean, I've never questioned that. But it's a very difficult thing to have. You come up with something that's going to work without creating other problems, because as you know, anytime you make one law, it creates a problem somewhere else. No matter how you look at it, you can't get away.
Twigging a string. Everything we do affects everything behind it.
Tracy.
So one thing that continues to concern me that I've heard over the course of the months of discussion, and I've heard different answers to the same question, is the question about whether or not in a school setting, if an administrator or a teacher perceives there to be cyberbullying, if they are required to report it. We've definitively heard, no, there's discretion, just like the example that was given is if a child touches another child, that's assault, but it's not always reported. But then we've also heard from other people that, and I'm not a teacher or an administrator, so I don't know, but that there's some standard or requirement almost like an oath, Dave, maybe you could see the
it's called being the status of being a mandated reporter.
Okay, so I would say that you would.
I mean, I would feel uncomfortable though I didn't report a abuse.
You have to read the mandated.
But doesn't the law now, isn't this not in schools? This doesn't include schools?
Kristen can speak to the
mandated
schools, so let me just speak to what a mandated reporter is.
Teachers are mandated reporters. Nurses are mandated reporters. Doctors are mandated reporters. What are they mandated to report? They are mandated to report acts of child abuse or child neglect. A cyberbullying act between two students at Kingston High School would not be an act of neglect or abuse. It's not chargeable by the Department of Social Services as a neglect case or an abuse case.
It's not protection.
I'm sorry.
Doesn't fall under child protection.
It's not child protection. It's not in that area. We're talking about acts between children. There's no parental role. It's not a DSS case, so it doesn't fit the standard of a mandated reporter.
Okay,
and we can provide you with. I'll provide you.
I would like to see that.
We'll give you the mandated reporter statute.
Is something that does concern me. Just given that I can imagine there being discretion is part of how you get to the bottom, and the threat of punishment, even the threat of punishment beyond taking that next step of reporting and going on. And I imagine it's going to vary case by case. So I would appreciate.
We'll get to the statute. Let me just tell you the purpose of that statute. What a mandated reporter is meant to do. It's for the teacher who comes to the school and sees the kid with a black eye. Well, what happened to you? It's for the doctor who's examining a 5-year-old girl and discovers that she has a broken hymen. What are these people supposed to report on? It's not that. But I'll get you the statute.
Clearly laid out what they're supposed to.
It is very clearly laid out. I'll get you the statute.
And Mary, what are you saying? This no longer applies to schools?
Don't schools have jurisdiction over their own?
Well, not necessarily. If this happens either in school or between two students, and the school could handle it in school the way they do with other issues right now. When students steal from another student, they just make the kid come back and start to do a mediation thing, peer mediation, things like that. And it might be handled in school. They can, but they need to or want to bring in outside resources.
And that's where this would come in.
And then they could, you can utilize it. Now, the school did have concerns. So we actually met with the school, the superintendent of the county, Chairman Ross, myself, Mr. Cartwright, and Mr. Cornell, dropped in court that month. But we met with the superintendent and explained all of this to them. They were concerned that they would have to bring in law enforcement. And, we explained to them that it would be the same as any situation like just described. Yes. So they actually asked us at that meeting that in the proposal of the law, on page 2, it says, this legislature hereby finds that the county of Ulster has an interest in providing options to schools and law enforcement which serve to rehabilitate juveniles, blah, blah, blah. But they felt like that because it says to schools in there, that it put some sort of mandate on them. We explained to them that it didn't. It was just providing them more options. But they asked us to remove the word school. School dance. So we did.
On page 2? Yeah, but that's just an explanation. I mean, that's not even the legal language of
So how does it read then?
It says this legislation hereby finds the county of Ulster has an interest in providing options to law enforcement, which serves to rehabilitate juveniles.
So the school wouldn't have to go to the police. I think the most likely scenario is that alleged cyberbullying event takes place. Victim's parent is going to be the person who's most likely to go to the police. The school could if they felt that
that's what's going to happen.
That's the most likely outcome. But
in other words, even if it's the other person who is doing the cyberbullying.
Well, that's where we have to investigate this, and that's where, like any other.
Well, we could be still in a case in court right now where one child punched another in the face and gave him a black eye. We do our due diligence, and we have to assume and hope that the people in law enforcement are going to do that. Come to find out that this perpetrator has been bullied by the other kid. In fact, the kid who was the quote unquote victim told other people that he was going to push his victim until he got punched in the chest. We know that now. We work with that. That's what happened.
It's like any case.
Yeah.
We have to
investigate it, we have to do our due diligence.
Tracy?
Another concern, kind of echoing on Dave, that I've heard you speak to, but many of us have spoken to over time, has to do with the criminalizing of youth, which is a big, from my perspective now, is a bigger issue because of the age of criminal responsibility, which is something outside of our control. But what I'm wondering is, and I know this, since you drafted it this way, I know it's not your interest to do it differently, but I'm just curious, legally, could we, in defining punishment, treat the 16 and 17-year-olds the same as those under 16, or are we precluded from doing that because of the age of criminal responsibility as defined by New York State movement, whatever? Could we conceivably draft a law that would treat the 16 and 17-year-olds the same as those under 16?
Yeah,
we
brought up that.
I
think that the best person to answer that question would be the district attorney.
Okay.
That's his positive.
Okay.
But I do want to remind you, in regards to the 16 and 17-year-olds, they are mandatory youthful offenders. Okay? So first offense, mandatory youthful offense.
But first any offense, so they could have gotten in trouble for something else.
As Mr. Donaldson has pointed out many times, they may have stolen a candy bar, which cost them their youthful living. Although I think, as a practicing attorney of 30 years, a long-time public defender, a long-time district attorney, that scenario was highly, highly, highly unlikely. Stolen candy bar money. But they could lose it because of something that may come across as being frivolous to people. However, even having lost the mandatory youthful offender status, it remains discretionary within the eyes of the judge where they are. Well, the kid, you got to realize that the brain, they live more at as a mass group. They don't work the same way. They don't think it out. I go to the CLE classes, and you're a psychologist. How old is your daughter? 14? You're going to learn that more and more. I have a 19-year-old, so believe me, I don't know. Help. And the 19-year-old tells me all the time, Daddy, don't you realize my brain's not fully developed? I've been here for 5 years.
Thanks, Dave.
So you smack him in the back of the head, did you spill?
Do we have any other discussion?
Yeah, just two things. Is there any incentive, or has there been found any incentive in these federal bullying laws for schools to report less because they're worried about VR?
I don't know the answer to that, but I will tell you, I think it's been our experience in the past, since the Dignity for All Students Act has gone into place, I think it's been our experience that schools have reported less and less across the board. I can't tell you that. I don't know why that is, but I can tell you that there are fewer and fewer school cases than there used to be.
And I just want to take a moment to...
And I did have a second.
That's fine. I just want to mention, if anybody was here also for the Energy and Environment Committee meeting, it's been moved upstairs to the Ann Bushnell conference room.
That's good. We're not unhappy with that.
Okay.
And we have to, because of the change in our practice, today I dealt with two juvenile rape cases. So we've become more of a special victims office than we ever were before, which is incredibly time consuming and stressful, and I think it's caused Kristen to have a couple breakdowns, quite frankly. There's only so many, sister brother sodomy cases you can deal with before you want to cry. So we're not unhappy with that. And we're not, we're not fishing for more cases to handle.
Okay. Are you here for Energy and Environment?
Yes.
Okay, they moved it upstairs to the Ann Bushnell conference room.
I just wanted to say something for the record on the minutes, which is that at the end of last year, I did request to participate in the meetings, and I was never notified that they were going to happen. And I'm concerned about that. It was Mr. Runk and Mr. Grinnell. And I did ask very specifically in our meetings
if I could participate in the gatherings with the schools, because I was interested in promoting the uses of the fund, the $10,000 fund.
And in fact, you were appointed.
That's right, by this committee.
By the committee, you weren't here, and I
so I was left out of that loop. I was left out of that loop. I made it very clear that I was interested in participating. I stood up in the legislature to say so. Talked about the committee that we had, subcommittee we had formed, and I was not notified. So it's a little bit late for me to go and meet with all the schools now to find out what they had to say about prevention and
education.
I know that's not on you. That's on our legislature. I just wanted to say it for the record. I can't organize those meetings for myself.
Maybe you could. Or to Tim Shaughnessy.
Go to all the schools with them?
Told me that he personally is a school member of the board who's satisfied. And I know that Kristen has, when she was at that meeting with the superintendents, I don't think that he had given anything in writing.
No,
yeah.
But we can request something in writing from him. Yeah, that would be nice.
I mean, I think we would like to be able to convene them to propose something that wouldn't just be off the shelf, like always, the anti-bullying education program that I mentioned they have. In my son's school, they have a 30-year-old binder with name, you know, it's got water stains on it, and it's not even digitized. And this is an excellent program, and I would like to propose that we work with the schools to bring that program in tandem with this law. So it's a little bit late now for having them put some discretionary funds aside to match what we might be able to use that $10,000 for. So it's a matter of leverage, and it's a matter of also double work to consult with them as not being part of the sessions that occurred this winter.
Any other discussion?
I'm sorry, I guess we'll take a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
No. Okay. All right, so it is 4-1 in favor. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
You're welcome. Okay, so moving on to more contracts. Resolution number 105, approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 entered into the County of Ulster Home Care, DBA, Always There Family Home Care Office of Aging. Any discussion? No? Okay, all in favor?
All right.
Okay, motion carried. Okay, we have Resolution 103, approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 Anytime Home Care Office for the Aging. Which, what did I say?
I'll move it for the central.
Yeah. Is this the one for five? Oh, we just did
no.
One four? Or?
This is 103.
I'd just like to move a discussion for 104.
What number is that?
That's 105.
Okay, and this is 103. We have 103 and 104 here.
Yeah.
I'd just like to move a discussion for 104.
This one's always there. That's the always there one. Did we move this one? We did. It's the always
there. Actually, we didn't move it. We just voted. So we need to move it.
All right. One more. I'll move it. And
I'll see you.
Second. That's 105.
Any discussion?
105.
This is 105. Yeah. We didn't do 104 yet.
No, we didn't do 103 or 104.
Okay.
We moved 103.
Yeah. I'll move it again.
Did we move 103?
Okay.
Any discussion?
Aye.
Okay, so
aye.
So 103 is with an HLM healthcare. I'm fine with that. Although, just another point for the minutes is that we did agree that even though these are appropriations that we've already foreseen, we expected a staff member to be present whenever we move.
Well, we can also, that's something we discussed about not moving the things that they chose not to.
I don't know.
Specifically asked for them to be here.
You didn't?
I did.
You did? Oh.
I did.
I'm just suggesting that I think we have to hold to the. I suggest we hold to the rule that we made in particular because there's one here for $600,000 that.
Oh, we already did 105, right? We already did those.
We didn't do 105, did we?
No,
yeah, we didn't. Oh, we did. Oh, that was
105.
Yes. Okay, 105. And we're on what, 103 now?
Yeah.
Oh, we did do 105.
We did do 105.
And what ones have we not done?
I'm sorry, 103, 104.
106.
106. 107. Well, 107 is health alliance medical, as well as office of the aging.
My concern with 105 was the sheer size of the contract. I know.
Can we take that back?
Well, I mean, I didn't realize we were doing 105. I thought we were going in order.
I thought I when I went through looking, I was trying to do the people that were here.
104 is the one that's 595,000.
Oh, so we haven't done 104.
We've done 105.
Okay, fine, that's fine. I'm not concerned about
and 103.
Yeah.
Right.
We did 103.
The print is so small. Yes. I'm sorry. I'm concerned about the will care. Which is 104.
Which is Woodson health care.
I mean, technically speaking, I'm concerned that we're now going to allocate nearly $1 million for all of these, and we don't have anyone here.
Right, there should be somebody here. You're right.
I did have Nettie invite.
No, Nettie. I know she was. And I know she did. And she was kind of forceful with some of them.
Yeah, she was.
She tried to be forceful with them, and she said to them, "They expect you to be there." Have you noticed they all showed up this time?
And they did. Yes. Well, I know that they said that you noticed about the new committee members and stuff, but some of them that she was being a little forceful to be here.
Yeah, it's Chris really never showed.
Then my suggestion, since we've already gone through a couple of them, would be to request a report on these, on all of them, before Ways and Means, and for number 104, that we table it. Since it's a large contract, and we'll send a message that this is
the way we expect to
be working.
Are they time sensitive? Because that always becomes an issue.
What is the contract time?
But there's no detail. There's no previous history. There's no. The state does require quarterly reports from these agencies. Why don't we see them? From what I understand, DSS requires quarterly reports.
Sure, from the state.
And why can't we get summaries of those in our backup materials? It's just if they can't make the meeting, send that. I mean, it just seems kind of.
Is that a one? Or is that just one?
Yeah, it's a 2-year contract, and from 4/17 to 3/19.
3 years.
A multi-year contract, so that makes me even more important in a way. And I mean, I'll support you on that.
Well, instead of tabling it, can we postpone it? I know it's
I'm not sure.
It's semantics, but tabling requires a certain time period that you have to wait in order to
Right.
Okay, then not tabling.
I think postpone it.
Postponing it so we can discuss the procedure.
And I think that's fair. You know, especially if you had asked somebody to be here and they're not here.
Yeah.
It is a substantial amount of money, and being that we should be
others like why it's a multi-year contract, what's the advantages of it? You know, that's another thing that we don't know about. I mean, I understand certain advantages that it may have, but there's maybe some disadvantages. Mm-hmm. Some people are not real happy with WellCare.
Right, I would just like
and
to
it's
get
not
our,
like
you know,
it's not like
we meet again
either.
On the 10th.
It's a 3-year contract, right. Which.
Right. I'd just like to get a report on first of all, I talked about with Legislator Lopez at the beginning of the meeting, including a statement of in the resolved that pursuant to the inclusion of an annual report based on state requirements to the committee that we would approve funding.
Okay.
Yep, I think that makes sense. And then we can run that by them. Yeah. And then you run by them if they want to say
things. Sure, and that can be something that we include with all of these.
Yeah.
Your
in the
quote,
result.
So. Yeah,
we get
instead
a copy of the you know, the whatever they're filing with the state, so we understand what they're doing.
Sure.
Did you get that language for the pursuant to the inclusion of a report? Okay, thanks.
And I'm, you know, like I'm very upset with the idea that you were not included in those meetings.
I was never notified
we
that they were going
clear,
to occur.
It was clear that we that
and
that,
I didn't
that
know
was the intent.
About
no, you.
I came
either.
Back from Christmas
right.
break, and they had
nobody
had the meeting.
Didn't sleep. Yeah.
And there was no, because if you remember correctly, she was in, and we said, well, that'd be good. We, that's somebody from the committee that'll go there and they can ask questions, and you were a critic. So therefore, the mindset, if you want that person there, so the school districts can have that discussion, so we can get an idea, and you keep copious notes, so we would know what that took place.
I do, and they're in the, it's in the minutes, because we did create a subcommittee. And I think also my concern is, as a member of the legislature, whether Mr. Ron goes or not, and his experience with bullying. I have a child in schools right now. I know what's going on. I know how he's begging for a phone. I see what's happening. I'm in touch with constituents. I brought one here, Jess Marsico, who spoke against the cyberbullying law because she saw things happening in the schools that were working against the appropriateness of that law.
And her kid was cyberbullying.
And she's a policy analyst. So I think that I have an understanding that is valuable to bring to the table. And I thought it would be valuable to have us represented if we're going to promote the use of these funds, the $10,000, and potentially partnerships with the schools to leverage them. They have discretionary funds that go into their budgets that we could create a coordinated approach. And that just... I think it diminishes the power of the legislature for us not to be included in discussions like that, even if Mr. Ronk was our representative.
Well, I am hoping that he's bridging with the schools, because
right.
we have had a very, they have not participated with us in anything
right.
that I've been involved in that we've invited from them to the table.
Well, that's exactly
they've chosen
right.
not to come to the table.
It's about building
so.
Relationships, and you can't do that if you create a law before you talk with them or create a program before you talk with them. And
right.
you know, as a planner, it's always about mm-hmm. reaching out to stakeholders before deciding what is to be done in their name. So I just wanted to put that on the record, and I think it's important. I was going to bring it up in the old business section of the
okay.
program, but I think it falls all under the discussion of the funding, and so I'm not sure where you would put that in the minutes.
So where are we at now? So
104 is being postponed pursuant to the changing of the language.
103 we didn't vote on either.
And a report.
We did vote on 103, didn't we?
We did.
103
and 105. So this is 104.
I just think if we don't stand up for the things we say we need to make decisions, we can't really.
I apologize that I didn't catch that we did
no.
it all together.
No, that's fine. I think we send a message with the largest contract that this is the way we want to operate. I have nothing against Office of the Agent, but I say that they do fine work.
Oh, they do. But
it's
we
more about
need
our
to
role.
Be able to ask questions. And
right.
I think they used to be, we used to have better representation at this particular meeting. We could ask questions.
But this
yeah,
particular one of the year.
I don't know what happened. He hasn't been, Ken Grinnell normally used to come. Now he hasn't been coming at all.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't know.
If they view us as easy.
So we're postponing 104. We did 105 already.
Okay.
We have 106 that we haven't done yet, right?
And 107 on the medical orders.
And we did did 78. 107 was a medical. Let's look at the dates on those. What the time is, you know, that those contracts are supposed to be. The ones that 3-year contracts.
Well, the medical alert, the original term was 4/1/15 to 3/31/17, and the next term is 3/31/17
to 3/31/18. So that's a new contract. I mean, that's a contract that is.
Well, just started last week.
Yeah, so it's starting at. When's it start?
March 31st. Oh, no. It's
at the end of the month.
The end of this month.
All right, so why don't we pass that one?
Okay. So
the 3-year medical one is easy to carry on.
And I'll move that 107.
Second?
No, second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. 107. Okay, so resolution 106, Office of the Agent, and it is for A&T Healthcare.
What's the time?
101. For 2 years.
2 years. Was the other one a 2-year also?
The last one was 3-year, right?
The year, right? Medical alert.
That's 107. Yeah. That's helpful. That's medical alert. 62 state, 38 county.
Which one? 107?
It's showing last year's contract and then it's
showing next year,
yeah.
Showing this from March to March for $58,000.
Oh, this is an amendment.
Yeah.
So if you look at the bottom, it's 2017-18 appropriation.
Yeah, that's an amendment to it, so we don't need to pass that one. They still got the contract. We'll ask them why they're amending that. What's the purpose of
is it not to exceed amendment? Term amendment?
Are you suggesting we postpone this as well?
Because I don't know why they're amending it.
Okay, but we don't have any information.
Which one are you talking about?
107.
AT&T alert.
AT&T alert. No, we didn't do 107.
Yes, we did.
It's right here.
Right?
All right.
No, we did the medical alert.
No, we did both.
All right, we did that.
No, we didn't. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Now we should look for those. But that's all right. Well, we got one.
Yeah, the word will get out there.
106 we didn't do yet.
So we haven't done the AT&T medical alert.
Correct. That's the only one we haven't done yet.
That's 106. That's that one?
Yes.
That's a 2-year contract.
What's likely to happen? They'll come to Ways and Means. They'll come to Ways and Means. Explain what. These are the minutes. We don't have a community.
So where's the one we,
It was 104. The one that we postponed.
Postponed.
I think it was 104.
So for 104, do we have to look at our check marks to make sure
we get out the right one to check?
The understanding was that we would have postponed all of them, but we decided that we'll pass those and we postpone the one because it's a triple one, but in the future we'll be postponing anything that doesn't have a representative unless there's a good reason not to.
Right.
That's good.
Making an example of it. No man noble.
Oh, okay.
Well, I go across the street.
Oh, it's kind of
I
think.
I mean, I live across the street.
Right. I think maybe.
Of course. Now I have to go. What for the? No, I didn't see it because I wanted to talk to Susan about what I learned about.
No, I put in a resolution on moving money from personnel lines. A lot of municipalities do not allow them to move money from personnel lines.
Excuse me,
I don't think you do anything.
Want information.
So we don't do anything on it? Mm-hmm. We just
nope.
Blank?
You see the blank. Postpone. Okay. Just write status postpone. They let you know. And they let us know. And postpone. It's a multi-contract that we made up on what changes were and so on and so forth. You can let them know that they were quite other questions where we decided to allow them. Fine, but it won't happen in the future.
Also, I here are copies of the last year's contracts. If you want to look at the same ones, I don't know if it's off.
Do you want to look at the old contracts?
Last year's contracts. Just in case you want to
see. The old contracts for the same?
Yeah,
for contract agencies.
That we did the same here.
Yeah, so
they're basically the same except for
the Schedule B,
the amount and date.
Well, but the scope is your.
And I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Any old business? Any new business?
No.
Okay.
I'll second it.
I'd like to just make sure that we do receive all the backup. It doesn't have to be all the pages of the contract. They can take the scope.
Okay.
That's really what I'm interested in. I don't want to have to ask.
Right.
I'd like to see it go in the backup. It's in the economic development one every month, but it's frequently not in the
years. Yeah.
And that's because we deal with fewer monthly contracts here. But in this heavy time, it's important for us to be able to, not to ask for it.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
I know all these organizations and how well they work, but.